this afternoon. You know, we started a study some weeks ago in the fruit of the Spirit is what we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. And we've looked so far at love. We looked at joy and peace, and we recognized that these are typically the ones that are more targeted toward God. Now, it is with one another, but those three particularly focuses on that, because we get that right with God. We got our love right with God. We got our joy and our peace right with God. We're going to have with other people. Okay? Now, the third section is more with one another. That's more long-suffering. Kindness, and today we're going to be talking about goodness on today. We're going to be talking about goodness, and we looked last week at kindness, at that sympathetic sweetness, we call it, a sweetness of temper, which puts others at their ease and shrinks from what? Giving pain or harm. This is the idea when we're talking about being kind to someone. So what are we talking about when we're talking about the word goodness? Sometimes this word gets lost in translation or in meaning. And what do I mean by that? Well, what we mean by goodness in the world is not what we're talking about in the Bible. A lot of times, I'm talking about the same thing. It comes from the Greek word, agathosune. Agathosune is the Greek word. This word is perhaps the most difficult to define because of its general nature, you know, mainly in a general sense. We might say, hey, That was a good movie, but the movie had violence and a lot of sex in it, a lot of profanity. Good movie, good movie. And somebody say, oh, that was some good whiskey. Ooh, it was a good whiskey. I got drunk. That's some good weed. I got high, you know, good weed. And so you can take the word good and you can make it say a lot of things that the Bible isn't saying. And so when we look at this word, because it's got so general in nature, we have to look specifically at what God means by the word good. And so you're going to find out it's more than just having a state of being. Well, we say, okay, I'm a good person. I feel good. I'm a good person. More than that. And we're going to be looking at that this afternoon. I believe one of the best ways to look at the word and define the word is to look at the idea in the text here of what it's talking about. This idea of comparing goodness to the words just and evil. Now, when the Greeks took this word, now keep in mind, you can translate the Bible in any language. Translate in English, Swahili, Russian. Sometimes meaning may get lost in translation. We have to be careful. And so when you're translating from the Greek, what does the Greek mean when they said the word goodness? Here's where we got to be careful. When they use the word Barclay, this is Barclay, when these Greek scholar writers, whatever, Barclay writes of how the Greeks compared these words. They would say, use the word justice. Now, the word justice, they say, is the quality of which a man gets what he deserves. So you're talking about, they use that word in a general sense, is good, this man got what he deserved. But is that what the Bible talking about? Well, we hope not. We hope not. Okay, so goodness, here it is. Goodness is the quality which is out to do far more than that, and which desires to give a man all that is to his benefit and help. That's different. You just give me what I deserve. I don't want that. Okay, I don't want that. So when we use the word in a general sense in the Bible, so this is what he's talking about. But Barclay goes on to say, he said, the man who just sticks to the letter of his bond, the man who is good, goes far beyond that. It carries with it the idea of generosity. So if somebody say goodness, oh, I want to possess goodness in the sense of the Bible. Well, it's more than just a person in a state of being, I'm a good person. I'm going to sit here, I'm a good person. No, it's more than that. It explains some things. It's an action word. When we're talking about goodness, we're talking about being generous. We're going to look at some examples of that today when we look at the life of Barnabas and all of that. So in the New Testament, the word from which goodness comes is often contrasted with evil. This is the best way to get the meaning. For example, when you go over to Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 15, here Jesus is saying a parable there in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 15. I just want to take one second. I'm going to read the whole parable. But in verse 15, he said, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is it your eye evil because I am good? So when you think of the idea of evil, you think of the idea of good, rather, goodness. You think of the antithesis. What's the opposite of evil? Well, some people do evil, right? So I have an evil mind, evil state. What does it say? What does John say? Jesus saying John 5:28-29, two people are going to be brought forth in the resurrection. Some to eternal condemnation because their works were evil. What were they doing? They were doing evil things. And somebody said, what was he out there doing last night? Doing evil. What was he doing? Like, he was out there, he was getting drunk. He was doing this. He was doing all this stuff. He's doing evil. What was the opposite of that? Doing good. It carries with it more than the idea of that was a good, this good chair, good movie, good this and that. It's the idea of somebody actually doing good deeds is what we're talking about. So when you look, you go on to Matthew chapter, we're there in Matthew chapter 6. You just go back a few verses. We get another idea here in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 through 23 is a very popular passage. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's an idea. Do people lay up treasures on earth? Yes. People lay up treasures on earth. They work. They do things just for selfish reasons. And we're coming back to that. It's something far beyond that. Where do we catch the contrast? Well, keep reading. Keep reading in verse 22. He said, the lamp of the body is the eye. And therefore, your eye is what? Good. Your whole body will be full of light. What's Jesus saying? Well, you know, when you're good, and through the eyes, what you do? You're looking at somebody, right? You're looking at their car. You don't cover their car. You know, from the eye, you don't cover their wife. Right? You don't cover their husband, right? When you look at things, when the eye is good, and you're looking out at things, you see things in a godly, a good way, you see? But he goes on to say, he's not done talking. He said, but if your eyes, what? If it's bad, see? Your whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What is he saying here? He's making a point to us. He starts out by telling us, I want to lay your treasures up here. You want to lay them up in heaven. It's action. Why? Some people put they stress, they put their treasures in the wrong places on the wrong things. Where are they looking? A lot of times people see things in the world. They want to do those things. They get evil from the eye. So what comes when they're looking out at that way? There's not goodness in that person. There's no light in that person. So the best way to define the word is when you think of evil, somebody doing evil, what's the antithesis of that? Doing good. See, in that way, doing good, the action of being generous is doing good, is the idea that's carrying with this word. So now we can begin. Now we begin to define goodness. The person who displays goodness is not like the person who is simply just, say the person who is simply just gives only to another what he has earned. He gives to that person what? More than that. Whereas the person who is good is generous to give what was not deserved. I come up to your house. I don't know what the going rate is to mow yards. Somebody come mow somebody's yard and say, okay, I'll pay you $50 to mow my yard. Okay, but that's what you earned, $50. But you did such a good job. I'm going to give you something else. Okay, and they come out with some lemonade, pour some lemonade, do some other good things for you. Other than the money, right? They give you the money, but they pour the lemonade. They teach you the gospel. That's good, right? Teach the gospel, okay? See how they slid that in there, okay? You teach them the gospel. But you give them more than what they earned. And when you look at us in that sense of us, when we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved. We talked about that this morning in Bible class. For by grace you have been saved through faith. What is great? The undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor of kindness. You have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of work, not of anything that you've done. See, it goes beyond that. So God giving us, he doesn't give us what we deserve because we all be on fire. Okay. Amen. We be on fire. But what's what he does? He shows us mercy. He shows us kindness. He shows us grace. So this idea of goodness is talking about the idea of giving someone what? Beyond what they deserve. Everybody with me here? So the person who is evil begrudges everything he has to give. He's the opposite of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. See, he doesn't give cheerfully. He gives grudgingly. When he gives, I mean, he don't want to let go of the money. You know, the trade, he's going to drop the money in the trade for the Lord. He can't let it go. You see, like this. He don't let it go. See? And so he get, and then he let it go, but he got attitude. Like, you know, because he got to give. No. That's not the right, with the right attitude to give. Now, let's look at someone who gives something to someone that's good. Go to Luke chapter 18. But watch the difference. Watch what happens. Look at Luke chapter 18. This Jesus talk is in red. Jesus is talking here, beginning in verse number 1. He's talking about prayer. And Jesus said, then he spoke a parable in verse 1. This is Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to what? Pray and not what? What is Jesus saying? You got to always be praying. You know what happens sometimes? We're praying to God for something, we get tired. Well, I'm praying, God's not going to give me what I asked for. Jesus said, don't do that. Then he tells a parable. He tells a parable to tell us what to do. He's saying there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now watch this. He don't fear God. He don't regard man. You know what that means? He don't care what you think about him. This kind of guy he is. I don't care what you think about me. And I don't fear God. But he said now there was a widow in that city and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Now, let me ask a question. Is that a good thing to do? You got a defenseless widow. Somebody's doing her wrong. Somebody needs to fight for her. Is that a good thing? Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Right? But listen. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor do I regard men. In other words, I don't care what men think. But because I don't fear God, regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wear me out. Now he said, you know what? What's he say? She getting on my nerves. Here's the deal. This woman keeps knocking on my door. You know, would you help me? Will you help me? Will you help me? Will you help me? Will you help me? So he's saying what? He's saying the same what? In the same way, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. So the point Jesus is making is, you know, don't give up when you're asking God for something. So if this evil man, he don't fear God, he ain't worried about what nobody thinks, don't care what you think, but let this woman wear me out, I'm going to give her what she wants. Now here's the point. Some people can do good deeds, not because they're good. See, he got up and did something, not because he's a good man, but did he do a good deed? Yes. But he did it with the wrong attitude. When we're talking about goodness in the Bible, we're talking about generosity. It's the idea that when you give to somebody, you give beyond what they deserve, right? You give to them. You don't look at, okay, this person been nice to me, so I'm going to teach them the gospel because he's been nice. No, you teach everybody the gospel, right? And so this is the idea. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this study together. I got the sune. Active, goodness, benevolent. The word benevolent coming from agathon, which is the root word for benevolence. What's benevolence? We said benevolence is give away some free diapers. You give away some food, right? You give away some food and clothing, right? Is that benevolent? Okay, you give to somebody, you help somebody out. So it's the idea. It is more than Christotes. It's more than being gentle. That's the word we looked at last week for kindness. It goes beyond being kind. It goes beyond a mellowing character of gentleness. It actually do something. It can be kind. Be kind. It can do something and be kind. If somebody just be kind to you. Just speak kindly to you, whatever. Not here. This word goodness goes beyond that. When you get up out of your seat and you do something. Everybody understand? So when he's saying long suffering, yes, with the brother, but also being kind to them, but also goodwill. Agathon, benevolence with your brother. You see a brother in need, you help him. You see? This is where this word is coming from. Now, with that being said, let's look at some examples. Let's use the remaining of our time today looking at some examples of goodness. Now, we understand what goodness is, right? Okay, it goes beyond just somebody sitting there going, you know, I'm a good person. I'm good. I'm sitting here. I'm doing nothing, but I'm good. No, it goes beyond that. It's generosity where you're doing something about it. You're demonstrating goodness. That's what we're talking about. So let's look at some examples in the Bible. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. In Acts chapter 11, we learn of a man named Barnabas. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 24 said, for he, speaking of Barnabas, was a good man, full of the what? Full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Now, what's the scripture say? Okay, you got a good man. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Does the Bible just say Barnabas was a good man and that's it? No. The scriptures tell us how he was qualified to. Yes. Yes. Full of the Holy. Yes. Keep reading. I'm telling you something. Get something else, brother. Why? Why were the people added? Because of his efforts. Somebody say, can you prove that? Go to Acts chapter 4, verse number 32. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse number 32. Let's qualify what we're saying there in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but what? They had all things, right, in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Now, here's the punch verse. Verse 36. And Joses, who was also named what? He is Barnabas, by the apostle, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. So among them, keep reading, having land, what did Barnabas do? Watch how he was good. He sold his land and he, okay, watch what he does. Barnabas, he sells his land, he takes the money, then sit there and I'm a good person. I'm good. I'm a good man. People do that. But no, Barnabas qualified as a good man when he sold his stuff and he laid it at the apostles' feet. That qualified him as a good man. He was a man of generosity. You see the word? One of the best examples in the Bible, when you look at the word goodness, is Barnabas. One of the best examples in the Bible. Now, so much so, let's go back over to Acts chapter 11 and verse number 23. Brother Richard, you were reading there in Acts chapter 11. I don't believe we caught 11 in verse number 23. What's the Bible say? Uh-huh. See, uh-huh. Yes, that's good. So he was a good man. But here's why. Look, when he came, he saw all the good deeds going on, wasn't envious, wasn't jealous. Oh, yes, I'm glad. Wow, what's going on here? Now, some people, they come and they see good works going on in the congregation. Mad, furious. Go try to stir up stuff, right? Don't like the good stuff that's going on. Barnabas wasn't like that. When he saw good things going on at a congregation, he was happy. He was glad. See, that's a good man. Good man's generous. Generous to God. Gives to God. When things are going in God's favor, he's happy. God's church is flourishing. I'm happy with that. So we see Barnabas. Now, I'm going to show you something else about Barnabas we rarely look at. In Galatians chapter 2, he messed up. Now, but I want you to go over there. He messed up. But I'm not going to focus a lot on that. I want you to look at something. We're going to look at the fact he messed up. He did something he shouldn't have done. But here's the point. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 13. The Bible, let's start in verse 11. Now, when Peter had came to Antioch, Paul said, I withstood him to his face because he was to blame. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. He's talking about Peter. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were the circumcision. So Peter had a reoccurring scary problem. He was scared on the night the Lord would be betrayed and denied the Lord. Now he's scared again. Now he's scared. But look at verse 13. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with them, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Here's what I want you to focus on about Barnabas. The scriptures say that even Barnabas, you know what that means? Now, the scriptures say even Judas was doing wrong. They don't put the even there, even Judas. They expected him to mess up. Here's my point. It's not expected. That's like you looking at a good person. You know, a person, real nice person in this congregation. And you say, even Brother Jimmy, even Brother Ben was caught up. That means you shocked. Everybody follow me? Say that's not typical behavior for them. Everybody see what I'm saying? So when the scriptures say that even Barnabas, that's a compliment to Barnabas. See, so much so that this wickedness was going on that even Barnabas, a good man like Barnabas, got caught up. That's a compliment. The Holy Spirit inspired, said this. Even Barnabas was caught up in it, Paul is saying here. So what's the point we're making? Barnabas was a good man, qualified by what? Good deeds, generosity. He did things. Now, another example in the Bible that stands out as far as goodness is a woman by the name of Dorcas. When you go to Acts chapter 9, look at what was Dorcas just a good person just because people said, well, she was just a good person. Is that all it was? No. Look at verse number 36. What does the Bible say in Acts chapter 9? At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated what? Dorcas. This woman was full of, watch this now. She was full of what? Good works and charitable deeds, which she what? Which she what? She did. Here's a person that's doing good deeds. So much so that here's the people crying because this person died. Because why? She was a good woman. What does it mean she was a good woman? She was a woman of generosity. Can you prove that? But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had watched her, they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him, they begging him to not delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by doing what? They were weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. So what qualified Dorcas for being a good person? She wasn't sitting there, I'm a good person. I'm just a good person. She was a doer. She was very generous. She helped people. That's a person, I don't start calling names. I don't offend nobody. I don't offend nobody. But there's a person who I call that in here. Do some good deeds. You do what I call a Dorcas. You know who she is, Dorcas. The point is this. Sometimes what we do, I say all the time, what we do, it has to be tied up in the right attitude. But goodness is qualified not by us sitting there saying I'm a good person. The piece very popular in our society that I'm a good man. You can't tell me I'm not. You know, I'm not going to argue with you because God knows my heart. You hear that? Okay, God knows my heart. I'm a good person, and I don't need to be qualified by anything that I'm doing. Not so. Not what the Bible teaches. Not what the Bible teaches. Job was a good man. So much so that even God was bragging on the man up there. What was good about him? How were he talking to his children? He was concerned that his children may have cursed God in their hearts. And he was always doing good deeds. But not only that, Job helped the widows, the orphans. He fought for them. When people tried to bring down the widows, rob the widows' house, he stood up for them. There was a scripture say about him. See, he was more than that. When the Bible talks about him, he was justified by his good deeds. What about in 2 Samuel chapter 9? We see another example. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse number 1. We see another example in the Bible of a man who is justified because why? He did good deeds, but his heart was right. Look there in 2 Samuel chapter. Remember a few weeks ago, we looked at the fact that David, Saul was trying to kill David. And how David get mad. He kept getting chance after chance. We say how long-suffering David was. Okay, David had a friend named Jonathan who was also Saul's son. And though this man tried to kill him a bunch of times, his own son, that they had a love, not a gay love, not homosexual, no, not that. But they were close as two men could be. He and Jonathan, they had a special relationship. They were good, close men together. And so they were friends. And so after Saul died and Jonathan died, look at what David does. Now, a lot of people say, hey, I'm going to get him. I got his grandson. I'm going to get him. You know, right? I mean, I'm ahead now. I'm the king. Now, I need to take some revenge on Saul's house because of what he did to me. Is that what David does? Watch the example in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. Now, David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? For whose sake? Now, isn't that something? Now, here the man tried to kill him. The man's dad tried to kill him all this time. But he forgets all that. And he does good. What does he do? He says, is there anybody in that man's house that I might do good by him? In verse 2, and there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him to David, the king said to him, Are you Ziba? He said, at your service. And the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. He was a lame boy. Man, something's wrong with it. He couldn't walk right there. And so the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lobar. And when Mephibosheth, that's the boy's name, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, here is your servant. I'm going to tell you something that's real sad about this scene. Poor boy, you know, he's laying in the feet. He knows my grandfather tripped. Okay, I had a stubborn grandfather, so much so God ripped the kingdom from him. I'm in trouble. The man he tried to kill is king now. I'm in trouble. But he doesn't expect the treatment that he's getting. But watch what happens in verse number 7 there. What the Bible say? He says, so David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul. What are we doing? All the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Man, isn't that nice? And the boy's scared. This man going to get me. Got every right to get me. My grandfather tripped on him. He messed with the man. And he's going to get me. But he's surprised. The man shows him kindness, shows him goodness. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog? As I, let me tell you something. Now, some people hear this and go, oh, you see. Now, people say today, don't put yourself down. You deserve this. Let me tell you, righteousness is like filthy rags. Listen, we ought to be glad that God accepts us with the way we've messed up on God. This is the attitude we should have. Lord, we should approach God like this. Lord, I'm not even worthy. You see? What did John the Baptist say? I'm not even worthy to loose that man's sandals dry. That's the right attitude. That's called respect. Approach God with respect. This boy is looking at the king in the sense of saying, I don't deserve what you're doing for me, but thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for not killing me. Thanks for helping me out. Is that right? Okay, let's keep reading. Say verse 9, the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I've given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul, and to all his house. Lord have mercy. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread. Guess where? At my personal table always. Man, that's a good man. That's a good man. And so what we're trying to say here, when we talk about goodness, we're talking about going beyond just doing what somebody deserved. The boy deserved this. But he goes beyond that. He goes beyond and says, not only give you all this land, all this other stuff that you ain't got coming, you'll eat at my personal table with me. For the rest of your life, you eat at the king's table. That's mercy. That's goodness. So we use the word goodness that we're talking about. So now applying that word to one another. What are we talking about? The goodness of the Christian life. Look at the Paul's expectation of the Christian in Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. What does the Bible say? That those led by the Spirit of God will produce the quality of goodness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all what? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We need to find out what's acceptable to the Lord. But the idea is this. We are called to be people of goodness. We are called to do to people beyond what they deserve. As I said, just give you what you deserve. No. God has been good to us. We should be good to one another. So we don't just give my brother what he deserves. I go beyond that. I give him more than that. I give him all. I give him all that a Christian is called to give. There in Romans chapter 15 and verse, I'm running out of time. In Romans chapter 15 and verse number 14, what does the Bible say there regarding goodness? In Romans chapter 15 and verse number 14. Now I myself am confident. Go ahead, brother. Uh-huh. You're full of goodness. Always to admonish one another. Thank you, brother. But he said, not just goodness. You're full of goodness. I'm going to look goodness over here. The goodness in my arm. The goodness in my leg. Goodness everywhere. That we're full of goodness. Why? God is full of goodness. And every day that we wake up, all these things that God does for us that we take for granted, he does it out of his goodness. Sun shining today on your yard. Right on your grass, helping you out, right? You know, God doesn't need sun. He does it for you. He does it for me. God doesn't need rain. He does it for you, and he does it for me. God don't need clothes. He does it for you, and he does it for me. God don't need food. He does it for you, and he does it for me. Why? Because he's good. God don't need no car. God don't need no job. He don't need none of that. He gives it to us because he's good to us. Therefore, we are called to be good to one another. Speaking of goodness, have you been saved? The Bible teaches that faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of past sins, confess Christ with your mouth to be the Son of God, and be baptized. That's God's goodness, that he saves you by his grace. He saves you by his mercy and his kindness. Not because you deserve it, but because he's good. And we need to be good like him. Perhaps you're already a Christian. But you find yourself back out there in the world. Look, let's make it right. Let's express some goodness. Let's show God that there's still some good in us, something in us to do things right and turn things around. Whatever your need may be, please make it known as we stand to sing the song of invitation. I have decided.